It is a convoluted story, but it's a must-see for ballet lovers. Swan Lake. 120 years ago this month, the version most often performed today premiered in St. Petersburg, Russia. NPR's Elizabeth Blair wondered why audiences still flock to it.
Yes, there's the music. 32 ballerinas moving lyrically in unison can be a marvel to watch. And for Vielda Milano and her 7-year-old daughter Abigail from New Jersey, the costumes are to die for.
They looked absolutely stunning.
Glittery and pink and silver.
They went to see the legendary Mariinsky Ballet perform Swan Lake at the Brooklyn Academy of Music. Tickets are expensive, up to $175 a pop. But the one-week run is nearly sold out. It's been said that dancing the lead in Swan Lake is like climbing Everest or playing Hamlet. The principal dances two roles, the black and the white swan, and both birds go through a lot, changing from swan to human, falling in love, getting tricked and jilted, duets, solos, and at one point dancing the 32 fouetté, which is literally 32 whip-fast turns. For dance scholar Lynn Garofola, it's simple. Swan Lake has endured because, when well executed, it's a gorgeous, dramatic story.
Something that begins at the beginning and ends at the end and goes through so many different states of mind and emotional moments that at the end I really feel I've had an experience.
That's assuming you've made it to the end of the roughly 3-hour performance and not fallen asleep.
Everybody that I took to Swan Lake, who was not a diehard ballet fan already, was just bored to tears.
Melody Datz Hansen is a dance critic in Seattle. She is passionate about all kinds of dance. She appreciates Swan Lake, both as a ballet and a moneymaker for companies. But she says the story about a royal prince deciding which girl swan he loves is outdated and sexist, and that can be a turnoff.
For many people, ballet and dance performance starts and stops with those traditional performances.
But Swan Lake hardly represents all of the exciting things happening in dance, says Datz Hansen. The last time Pacific Northwest Ballet did Swan Lake, she says even the dancers looked bored.
There was no spark, and it was just very, very drab.
But it can be just the opposite, she says, when the same dancers do a contemporary piece, like choreographer Justin Peck's Debonair.
Their faces are more expressive and their bodies are just shooting energy out of their fingertips. It's amazing.
Now, there are fresh interpretations of Swan Lake. There's Matthew Bourne's Tony Award-winning, almost all-male version. And another gender-bending Swan Lake with an African twist by Dada Masilo. But these are the exceptions. Most productions of Swan Lake stick to the rules.
Every spring season we do it, and it's like riding a bike.
Star dancer Misty Copeland's first performance with American Ballet Theatre was Swan Lake in the Corps de Ballet in 2001. Now she's a soloist with the company dancing the lead.
It's huge.
Copeland is African American. This spring, she will do something that is rare in the mostly white world of professional ballet. She and another African American, Brooklyn Mack, will dance the leads together for two performances with the Washington Ballet at the Kennedy Center.
To see two black leads is just not something that you see. So it's a big deal, I think, for the ballet world and especially for minorities within the ballet world as well.
They'll perform the classic, the pure, the relatively unchanged late 19th century Swan Lake choreography. And yet it feels like a breakthrough. Elizabeth Blair, NPR News.